Welcome. My name is Gina Timberman, and you are listening to Timber People, a podcast about people who, like timber, are strong, build and create, who gather us together like fuel that feeds fire. People who support structures of our community that uplift and protect. Welcome to the show. So happy to welcome my dear friend, Tom Ferris. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so glad we finally got a chance to do this.
I know, I've been bugging you for a minute. Tom is an award-winning artist. Just really excited to talk about your artwork and everything that you have done historically and are doing and what you have on the horizon. Tom is Otomizura and Cherokee, and he is the museum store czar.
Yeah, exactly. I guess we'll start with current. The director of retail operations for First Americans Museum. My baby is Fam Store. It has been the passion of the last few years of my life. And I think everybody who visits enjoys it. And I really like what I've been able to do in that space. I've been given a lot of latitude and really been able to take a lot of the ideas I've wanted to do, whether it was working for other entities that I wasn't allowed to do or didn't have an opportunity to do. And we've had a chance to work with a lot of really cool people, a lot of folks that I call my friends, and contemporaries in Native art for sure. And we really get to focus on what's being made by, you know, members of the 39 tribes found here in the state of Oklahoma. And it's just a cool place to go every day. Every day is different. Every day is you never quite know what to expect, and you can expect all you want and it'll change anyway. So that's what I do primarily every day, it seems like. But I've really enjoyed watching that project blossom. Mm-hmm. So my family moved back to Oklahoma in the early 90s. And at the time, my dad worked for the Oklahoma Indian Affairs Commission. Right. And that's when that project was first posited. Mm-hmm. And so I've been tangentially, I wouldn't say involved, but aware of that project since its inception, and to kind of be there for the actual big push to get it open and run it has just been a little surreal. Anybody who's familiar with the project, it was like a 30-year process. And, you know, I think there were so many people that were skeptical of it ever coming to fruition. So it's amazing to actually be part of the team that made that happen. Small part, but we help keep the doors open by the money we bring in. So
there are no small parts. And I'll tell you, you know, when I think about the dream team, you know, I've been fortunate to know you for years and your family, even prior to you being involved with FAM, and to have the dream team and you like really just pulling heavy weight to get it open and, you know, up and running and relevant to the cultures and honoring the nature of the arts in Oklahoma. And being just a fun place to be and shop. It's one of my favorite places to hang out. You know, I like to shop, but, you know, I geek out over museum stores. But, man, what you've done with FAM is so exciting, and I love it. I always love being there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we always love to have you, of course. we really do love our shop regulars, and we have a few. Gina is definitely one of them, but we like that people seek us out as kind of the reliable place to find something really unique. And we kind of pride ourselves on that. And we really like to keep the gallery space fluid. The most often comment I hear from people who are regulars is that it's always different when I come in here. Right. And that's intentional. We want it to kind of have a different feel, or, you know, have something that catches your eye as something new. It's something we're constantly working on and evolving, just to kind of make sure it's not static. And make sure it's always a unique experience every time you come.
Well, you're certainly the right person to have championed the unique nature and the experience. And it is definitely its own gallery and its own experience, for sure. And it's not surprising when I'm talking to, you know, an artist who's won, you know, creativity awards and innovation awards through like Santa Fe Indian Market. And you're a person who has always, with your artwork and just your ways of operating and thinking fresh in terms of gallery operations, museum store operations, that you're willing to take some risks and do things that other people have never done before and really represent fine art and native contemporary art in ways that the general public hasn't really seen before. And so it's super cool.
I appreciate that. I mean, I've been in the business for a long time, longer than most people know. I mean, I started in my...
Careful, you're younger than I am.
Well, hey. I started in my early 20s working for the Jacobson House in Norman. I created Cherokee Art Market for the Cherokee Nation. I had my own gallery for a number of years in Norman, Standing Buffalo Gallery. And then I opened and ran Exhibit C for the Chickasaw Nation before coming to FAM Store. So I have a pretty solid 20-plus year career on the retail side of Native art. And I really think that's all of those experiences have given me a unique perspective on how to approach things. And I've been able to work with some really amazing people that I continue to work with for the most part. And so I think I've just been really fortunate to make good contacts and to be in a position where I have the ability to take those risks. And that is encouraged. And, you know, we really are able to celebrate our culture and have the things available for Native people that we appreciate that you don't find in other places that aren't really geared towards that, geared toward more of a broader audience. And not that we aren't, but we certainly have those things that are definitely inside jokes for Native people or just really specific things to our culture that it takes a certain eye to present.
Well, I really appreciate that you have the, and I want to talk about your family history because I think that has a lot to do with the artist and the type of person that you are to just so strongly support museums and the arts in general. But I really want to say, you know, people see the front of the house, the cool and fresh and innovative experiences that you help support and foster. And I think it's really important that you're an artist yourself and operating, you know, the museum store and the gallery space and being so involved for so many years in different aspects. And I have to say, you know, but what really makes the big differences are those back of the house experiences with the friendships that you have, but the relationships with other artists, and then really keeping the outreach present in a way where you're hearing, you're always collecting feedback and really understanding what the needs are, not just of the community and donors or visitors to a museum and the people that frequent the museum store, but also to what the artist's needs are and really how they want to be treated in terms of that collective stakeholder, you know, commitment that they have for places like the FAM Museum Store.
Yeah, I would definitely say being an active artist helps give me the perspective because I've had the business side for longer than I've been an artist. And now I've gone through all the experiences that the artists that I work with have gone through. And I understand their frustrations and I understand what works or, you know, what could be improved. And so we take all of those or all of that, I guess, information into heart whenever we start planning things. And we do listen to artists. And because so many of them are my contemporaries, it turns out that, I mean, I'm always working, but, you know, anytime I'm in, you know, in most social things, I'm with other artists and I can't help but right. We talk shop all the time, but it's interesting to be on both sides of it because I can relate very easily and I tend to think from the artist's perspective when planning things first and foremost. I mean, I think WAM is a really great winter holiday art market. It's one of the major events that the FAM store operates. And that was kind of a surprise project for us. You know, FAM opened in September. And as we were a week out from opening, our director at the time, Jim Pepper Henry, said, "Hey, you know, I think we should have a winter market." And I said, "You mean like in 3 months have a winter market? Okay." And it was something that myself and my staff really dove into, because I've also been very fortunate to develop a staff that is incredibly knowledgeable, far more talented or qualified than I deserve or is necessary, I think. But, you know, I've had an amazing cast of active artists or art academics. My staff is, you know, they're master degree holders in art, right, or they're practicing artists of various degrees of success. And, you know, it's amazing that we're able to bring that experience to planning things for artists, because we kind of feel that if we have the right artists and they're treated well, that experience is going to translate to the guests, because those artists are going to be happy to be there. They're going to bring their best stuff. They're going to do their best work. Right. And so that has been successful for us. You know, we feed our artists. We make sure they get breaks. We are very clear with communication. I think that's our strongest thing, really kind of making sure that everyone's had has been touched and understands their responsibilities. And so having that experience as an artist has been incredibly helpful. And then, of course, having the staff that I've had as well has just been such great support for any project we wanted to undertake. It's and that's always nice when you have people that kind of buy into some of your crazier ideas and can understand the fun in it and kind of embrace that. So like I said, I've been very fortunate in the staff that I've been able to procure. So, you know, it's those are always hard shoes to fill whenever we have a vacancy. And so it's a delicate ecosystem you kind of have to maintain. So that's kind of part of the challenge.
Absolutely. And it happens, you know, really organically, and it grows, and ecosystem is, you know, right, you know, with that. And I know that the talented staff that you are working with, they bring so much to the table, and, you know, that's reciprocal. I've witnessed what you have been teaching them as well, and really appreciate that. And I know that these are young people typically that will stay in this profession throughout their career. And the foundation that you have been providing, I feel very fortunate that I'll reap the benefits as well as many other people for years and years to come. And, you know, on the opening day, you mentioned that is, you know, opening, I saw my niece who was just beginning to walk at that time, and to see her walk through the gallery and to be drawn to things in the museum store, to really enjoy the hustle and bustle of the crowd and the energy that was there. You know, I think about that, and it's important. It's a priority in my family to ensure that my niece, baby Andy, that she has that access and involvement in not only Choctaw, but in the Indigenous community and supporting the arts and museum experience. And when I think about kids who grew up like that, I love your family so much. And they are, you know, so enjoyable to be around, and from just such a talented, you know, heritage, you, like your entire family. And I know you grew up educated, knowledgeable, not just artists, but also museum collectors too, and supporters of museums and exhibits. And I always feel like I learned something when I'm, you know, around talking and visiting, you know, with your family.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique experience growing up. My parents were very passionate collectors. And I tell everybody that when I was a kid, I hated it. You know, nobody likes what your parents right? like when you're little. And you know, we were kids that were expected to be well-behaved and were allowed in places that most kids are just not. And so we had a certain degree of autonomy. And so I started to branch out, and just because by the fact that I had no other choice, you know, and being dragged along things to galleries, to museums, those kind of things growing up, to finally start picking out the things that I enjoyed about art, or at least the native version of art. Looking back on it, I'm very proud that my parents really instilled the cultural knowledge that I had growing up. And, you know, it's, I didn't always grow up in Oklahoma. And so trying to maintain those cultural touchstones and that knowledge was a challenge for them, but they always really made it an imperative. Beyond that, they always kept us very politically active and always involved in Native rights. You know, we've been big opponents of Native mascots for a very long time. That's something that I can remember well into my childhood, a message that has always kind of been part of my growing up, and not letting our people kind of be mocked in the, as a caricature of our culture, and how that damages the perception of Native people in the general public, because really that's what most people in the general public, that's their familiarity with Native people is a mascot, right? Or, you know, what they've seen in a movie. And it's interesting to me in that I work in a place where daily I encounter people that say, you know, I had no idea that all these Native tribes spoke different languages, right? Or I had no idea that all these Native tribes are from these different parts of the United States. I had, you know, I had no idea every day. Yeah. And it's really basic information that I was raised with. But, you know, that's, I recognize now that that is something I was very fortunate to have instilled in me as a child. Just that knowledge and connection to my culture. And, you know, then I didn't quite understand it, and it wasn't always what I wanted to hear or do. But I'm very fortunate as an adult that I did it, and I'm very happy that we did. And I'm, right. And I appreciate my parents for kind of drilling that into us, for sure, because it's an essential part of what I draw upon for my work, really, my artwork, that is. You know, trying, so much of my artwork is trying to do basic education, or provide basic education to the viewer, because so much of our history or culture has not been taught, or, you know, in public education, generally, Native Americans are kind of reduced to the Trail of Tears. And
maybe like less than a paragraph, right, about the Trail, yeah, of Tears, like, or like there was one tribe that,
right,
like
a real small section in the history book.
Sadly, that is true.
And there's no depiction of contemporary culture. And there's no mention of the resilience of Native people, despite all these attempts at assimilation and the destruction of our culture. You know, we maintained, we survived that, and our languages are being revived, our ceremonies continue. And I'm really heartened by, you know, seeing Native kids with very ethnic Native names embracing that. Right. I go by Tom because it was really difficult to have a Native name growing up, and I stopped going by it because, yeah, it was difficult, and I didn't grow up, you know, here where it was even remotely embraced. So it was odd. It was an odd thing. And so looking back, I'm a little disappointed in myself, but it is definitely something that I'm glad to see the younger generation embracing and kind of demanding the space for that. And I think that's a great thing.
Also, yes, and like the aesthetic, like the visual identity that people can, you know, have, like whether it's a tattoo or, you know, Oto Mizura design. You know, Kenitha was just speaking about her designs recently on the show. And, you know, you can see that identity now more than ever in things that can be created with new technologies, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things, and collaboration. And also, you know, I will say, like, in life, it's challenging anyway for anyone to just be themselves sometimes. And when I think about artwork sometimes, and with your artwork, I can tell that's yours. You know, I can't imagine that, not so much the challenge, but more of an opportunity to say, this is who I am through something visually representative that is outside of yourself. And it's a gift to all of us. But yeah, I can tell, like, you incorporate education, sometimes that tongue in cheek, or that humor, or the opportunity to educate and be sometimes sarcastic, sometimes whimsical, and taking representations of culture that are very present in popular culture in general, and then putting that spin on it in a way that says, all right, this exists, but this is how I'm going to interpret in my artistic way. And it's so much fun. And I know you've received so many awards for it and are represented with, you know, the National Museum of the American Indian, you know, Smithsonian, you know, of course, you know, New York and MAI and DC, and you've been exhibited in the Heard Museum and all across the country. So how does that feel like when people are like, I get it? And you just were out in North Carolina too for a really cool exhibit experience as well.
I really like, oh, wow. How does that feel? I like when there's that spark of recognition from, especially from Native people, the kind of inside baseball joke, that is translated. But I also like really the opportunity to have those conversations that the pieces are intended to elicit. What I like is to see somebody engaging with the piece and try, and usually, so if, for those unfamiliar with my work, a lot of it incorporates pop iconography, right, or advertisements or things that are ubiquitous in the dominant culture, but giving it a Native perspective in order to kind of drop a little education, right, or humor. And yeah, humor is definitely present in my work. And I think it's one of the things that is so often not associated with Native people, but one of our most present qualities. You know, I think in most depictions of Native people, we're stoic, and that's what's expected. But I think humor is probably our most present quality.
Laughter is medicine.
Well, I think it's a trauma response. Right. You know, it's how you deal with generational trauma, is that you have to make light of it, and you have to be able to laugh at life. And that's just something that I just never, that's something I always feel is not done correctly in most depictions of Native people, unless it's done by Native people. I mean, that definitely is there, you know, in Reservation Dogs and, you know, and, you know, where we are able to tell our own stories, there is humor, because that's just us.
Right. And,
but outside of that, you know, what I really like to do is to engage with people. I like to let them come to a piece and try to figure it out. And then kind of, you know, whether I'm trying to explain that Cherokees have a written language, or, you know, I a lot of my pieces deal with the Deer Woman story. Right. And I don't know how many people I've been able to tell my little elevator pitch version of the Deer Woman story to, but like, I feel like there's so much cultural education happening in just my interactions with people trying to figure out why this painting of a woman has deer feet.
Right.
You know, but, or what's odd to me sometimes is, I realize just how effective Deer Woman could be, because they look at the picture and they're looking at it, and I, you know, tell the story, and I get to the part where I say, you know, and then she has deer feet and you don't notice. And so many times you'd be like, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice she had deer feet. And I'm like, okay, well, Deer Woman could actually work.
Well, she's still being Deer Woman, right, in that respect.
Exactly. So, I always find that to be a little humorous. And I love when, obviously Native people get the humor, but also just when the general public understands it and can maybe deflate a difficult issue, or at least, humanize it with humor, I think. I'm trying to start conversations. I want people to be able to talk about things. And, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about our history because, you know, we're a thriving culture. And, you know, we're working towards manifesting who we want to be or who we were meant to be as a people. And so, yeah, I think everybody's along for the ride. And I'm excited and really impressed with how much Native culture is present now in just pop culture in general.
Absolutely.
It's now a cool thing to be Native. So that, of course, that carries its own pitfalls, but it's great not only in that we are, you know, because we've had moments before of, you know, Dance with Wolves or, you know, we've had those glimpses of fleeting stardom, but that we're finally able to write and tell our own stories, create, you know, use our own actors, represent our own communities very truthfully, for good and bad, and kind of give an accurate depiction of what it's like to be a contemporary Native person. And so all of that is being done without being interpreted by someone else, which it so often has been done to us, or I guess for us is probably how the outside would look at that. But I think it's important that, you know, we're getting the most accurate picture we've ever given, you know, in pop culture today, because we're telling the stories and because our actors are acting those stories. And not all of them are pretty, but that's life. I think it's an exciting time to be creating things that hopefully will endure. I think the idea of having things in museums is odd. It's a weird concept to have something that I made in my living room on my dining room table, you know, live in a museum collection for posterity.
I mean, if you don't want your things in a museum, I'll keep them at my house for you.
That is just, it's odd to have an idea of mine elevated to that with that reverence. It's just a weird thing because it's just, I think this is funny or I think this is representative. And then you make it and then it's given this whole other life and that's going to, you know, outlive me. And I think that's probably the weirdest thing for me is that those pieces will continue on and my weird jokes are going to kind of be told well past their meaning or well past their context.
Right.
You know, I can't even imagine, you know, societal views of how that will change and how that will affect the way my work is interpreted. So I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, the word curious, I'm glad you say that because I think we're still in a moment of straddling what museums were in the past as these like cabinets of curiosity. And today they become these vehicles through which we speak from a first person Native perspective to express ourselves. And so, you know, by Native people, for Native people, that's still like in the big picture of, you know, like the museum history, we're still in a kind of new era of that. And I think it's really great. You are so talented on so many levels and you have this really awesome gift of taking something that is really familiar to anyone, an object, and reinterpreting its physicality from that Native perspective, whether it's like the war club that's on the gun rack or the what you've done with, you know, the car or what you've done with, you know, a slot machine. And you've really taken some things and reinterpreted them in not only beautiful ways and at times humorous ways, but in ways that make you scratch your head and again become those conversation starters. that really prove that art and museums and these experiences become a safe common ground for us to like really talk about why did you do it that way, you know?
I think what I like so much about where we are with Native art today is that you're finally starting to see artists be able to have a career making the work they want to make.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's a very recent thing, which I know sounds odd, but, you know, really Native art for so long was based on tourist trade, mm-hmm. you know, right. Especially in the Southwest, they would make jewelry for tourists. It, you know, it was their livelihood. And yeah. while that was yeah. part of their cultural tradition, it became a way to make money and exist. And then while this amazing group of Native artists that have led the way for the artists working today, their work depicted Native culture, but in very much in a historical way, you know, to that really kind of appealed to that Western style of kind of cowboy motif. You know, it, you get the Native on horseback in a snowstorm with a teepee, and that was a real common depiction, whether or not that was right. necessarily of your tribe. But, and I understand when people have to do that, because that's, to be a full-time artist, sometimes you have to crank out what's popular and what's going to sell. And I think that's admirable. And I'm glad that that happened to allow this current generation of artists to really kind of start spreading their wings and making things that I never really expect my work to be, you know, necessarily financially viable. I mean, it's, I always tell people when they ask me what I do is I make weird stuff. And, you know, I think, I make the stuff that I want to see somebody else make. Mm-hmm. Like I have the idea. I'm like, oh man, somebody should do this. And that's kind of how I got started, is that I would ask artists to make stuff for me. And eventually they just said, you need to go make something because I'm tired of this. So right. it's now to the point where, you know, artists that are able to really just make what they want to make, and it's embraced and people are buying it. And that wasn't always the case. Yeah. You know, it was like they were making stuff because like, hey, man, I got to pay the bills.
Yeah. Throughout history, it was reactive. Yeah. Now art can be proactive.
Yeah. I have a piece, that I have got to stop telling people the title of, because I could have sold it by now. But it's this real, it's a real basic and real simple scene of buffalo running across the horizon, mm-hmm. you know, and it's called Paint Buffalo, Have a Career. And it's stemmed from a conversation that I had with some artists, and, you know, they're like, well, I need to sell something. I was like, hey, paint a buffalo. And we'll sell it. And yeah. And yeah. you painted a buffalo and we sold it. And right. now we're on 50 buffaloes, you know. So it's one of those things where it's a difficult thing to sometimes manage. It's like, I know I could paint that and sell it, and that's no big deal, but I really want to paint this. Right. And so I'm fortunate that I don't depend on the sales of my work to live, which is, I'm sure my entire family is very happy with that. But that allows me to make some of the weirder things, which oddly enough turn out to be the more financially viable ones. That's the weird thing for me. Like the odder and stranger my stuff gets, the more acceptable it becomes. It's a weird scale that I didn't ever anticipate my work being on. But, you know, now I'm really just making fun stuff and yeah. trying new things. I have never been really, you know, I kind of started painting and then added the woodwork that I learned. My dad is a master woodworker. Nice. Just one.
I know. I'm so happy for him.
And so I learned a lot, like I learned about art. Incidentally, I learned woodworking from having to help him in the shop, right. you know, like being the kid, like hold the light kid. But I learned a lot that way. And so I added woodworking, and I've decided or learned about myself that I never want to limit myself because I don't know how to do something.
Right.
And that almost, I don't go out of my way to learn new things, but if I have an idea and it's something I don't know how to do, I want to learn how to do it so I can do that.
Absolutely. I think that philosophy will undoubtedly inspire those up and coming young artists, you know?
Well, it's amazing. I've been very fortunate to have very open and giving friends and colleagues that have been very free with their time and information to help teach me how to do things or help figuring out issues. Marvin Begay has been a fantastic person for teaching me how to do either silk screening or printmaking in general. Mm-hmm. You know, I've Michael Wesley has been a great, you know, friend and helped me out, you know, with painting issues or questions. And, you know, there's a lot of trial and error, but I've been fortunate to have a network of people that have been very giving with their time. And, you know, so the next thing I'm trying to dabble in is jewelry. So I'm bugging Kenneth Johnson to help me learn how to do some sand casting because I have an idea for a piece.
You're bugging the right person.
Right. Well, you know, start high, you aim high. But so I had this idea and I don't know how to do it, but I've watched a couple YouTube videos. It seems pretty straightforward. So I'm asking him his idea of, you know, the viability of doing it. And so he's been very open with advice and very open with hey, come out to Santa Fe and, you know, we'll do this. And so it's more a matter of time for me. But like I said, I love that the Native art community is, for the most part, very open to supporting artists and teaching people how to do stuff and just kind of sharing that gift. It's something that I find is very almost exclusive to Native art. Most other professions, it's very difficult to kind of get that mentorship, especially for free. And so I always then, of course, try to pay it forward. You know, anytime anybody asks me for information or help, I try to do it. And I just kind of like sharing the stuff that I've learned. The car, as you mentioned, was a great example of that. I wanted to take something that was that had no plans for life. It was a wrecked car. And I wanted to revive it and I wanted to kind of give it a new life and not let something go to waste, kind of use the whole Buffalo concept. You know, I was like, don't throw this away. Let's revive it. Let's make it new and make it beautiful. Right. And so I went to the University of YouTube and I learned how to do auto repair, body replacement. I rebuilt this car that had been run into a ditch and kind of stripped it down and rebuilt it and then used it as a basis for a piece of artwork. And it didn't necessarily start with that intention, but as it progressed, I was, you know, kind of started having ideas of how to change it and play with it. And so it the concept evolved, but I just like the idea of not just throwing something away.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a part of traditional notions of thought. And that's why I love seeing like what you've done, like in such an innovative contemporary way, but you're always informed by those traditional, like your cultural concepts. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, leaning on friends for support and, you know, like talking about how to create art. And I love the fact that our Oklahomies are all over Indian country. And I especially love and have so much pride when I walk through the aisles of like Santa Fe Indian Market and I get to see like what you're doing and what you're presenting. And it's the place to see so many of my friends who are Native artists that, you know, live here in Oklahoma. And I just have so much pride. And I know you've exhibited out there for many years and have a lot of friendships out there. And I can't wait to see you there this year.
I'm hoping to hear this next month if I get in. This will be lucky number 13. I think my 13th year. And I love that show in particular because of what I do. Not only are all the artists there, but all the curators are there. Everybody, even tangentially related to Native art, and really just Native pop culture, because all the actors are there.
It's so great.
I think 3 years ago, I was at the La Fonda bar at a table with Wes Studi and Joy Harjo and Patricia Michaels, just hanging out, having a drink. So it's just one of those places. It's a confluence of everything. And I like just having that every year. There's a 5-day period where I'm going to see so many people I know, right, catch up with people, celebrate with people, and really see and be inspired by all the work that people are doing, and just kind of seeing what new stuff people have come up with, or whether it's innovative or just meticulously specific cultural traditional pieces, right, elevating, items of material culture is just one of the most impressive things that contemporary Native artists do. I think, taking cradle boards or regalia and just making them so meticulously fine that they are, reach that point of fine art is something that I think is incredible.
Oh, it's super cool. Well, I can't wait to see what you do this year and beyond. And Tom Ferris, thank you so much for being on the show. Wado Yakuki. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yakuki, thank you for joining us. Timber People is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast platform.